What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister is, she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to The God Show. And before we get started, shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote & Carry. Shout out to Tulaw. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. And shout out to LorraineCo. And shout out to you for watching, like, share, subscribe. Please do that. I hate having to say that because I hate when people say it, but it's so obvious to be said because if you don't say it, people won't do it. So like, share, subscribe, join my community. Interact with us, talk back to us, and everything. Now that that's out the way, we have a legend in the building. This guy is a leader in the finance world. He's a leader in the publishing world with writing books. Like, actually, I might need his help with my book that I wrote because I'm still trying to get it, figure out who I'm going to publish it with. But this guy's a legend. He has a hit podcast. That's a dope thing to say, yes, man. He has podcast called Inside the Vault. Yes, sir. Let's welcome Ash Cash.
Appreciate you.
And I want everybody at home to see something. Look at Ash Cash and look behind him. He understands the concept of promoting.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He could have came and sat down, but he has his books back there because he knows while you're watching it, you're going to see his products. I just want to give you props for that because I just told you the book I'm reading. Yeah. He talks about how important it is to promote yourself.
1,000%, yeah.
And when I came, I'm listening to it as I pull up and I walk up and I see you ready. I'm like, he gets it.
Yes, sir.
And then I said the name of the book, and you said, I already know. I'm like, I know
Yeah. I'm a student. Yes,
so ask, I don't want to ask you, man.
Yeah.
Like, how did you become this superhero that wants to help people with financial literacy, building their brand, building families, building, like, how did you become that person?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, a Malcolm X tape, right? Mm. So I'm gonna tell you. So I'm from Harlem. I'm from 129th Street, 8th Avenue, St. Nicholas Projects,
okay,
man. So I'm from the, you know what I mean? From the P, you know what I mean? So 133rd, 167th.
Oh, let's go.
Right around the corner. Let's go. So yeah, I'm from the 6th building, right? So I'm from 246. So
6th building.
If you know, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been an entrepreneur all my life.
For sure.
You know, 8 years old, packing bags at the local supermarket, selling mixtapes and t-shirts, 125th Street, 125th and all that. Mm-hmm. So I've always been an entrepreneur. 17 years old, I got a job, you know, working at a video store, at Blockbuster Videos, rest in peace, Blockbuster Videos, right? And so by 19, I got an opportunity to work at a bank, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a teller at Chase Bank at 19 years old. Ooh. I did everything in banking. From teller to personal banker, branch manager. I was a CEO of a credit union at a young age. I was 31 years old when I did that. Mm. And I remember I was living in Westchester County at the time. I was living in New Rochelle. And I was listening to a Malcolm X tape. And Malcolm X talked about the brain dump that happens in our community, right?
Mm.
Where people who are from the hood, who are from certain neighborhoods, get all this knowledge. And instead of coming back and giving that knowledge to us, we go, and he literally said, we go to Westchester County, right? He said, we go
and
to Westchester, and that's where I was at. He said, we go to Westchester County, and I sat in my car and said, damn.
I'm who he talking about.
I moved to Westchester County, like I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And from that point, I just said, I gotta be more intentional about being able to bridge the gap, right? So because I'm from where I'm from, you could drop me off on any hood in America, and I could talk to any gangster, any hood person.
Yeah.
But I was a high level executive in the bank,
sure.
So you could take me to any billionaire right now,
yeah,
and I could speak that language. And I think it's a very rare skill to have to be able to be able to do it authentically though too. Like I don't. It's not a code switch for me. It's just authentically I can have both conversations. As me though too.
Yes.
Right. And so I said, man, you know what I'm saying? In the words of the Honorable Sean Carter, there's much bigger issues in the world I know, but I first have to take care of the world I know. And so that's what I said. I said, man, so I started out volunteering, going to different, you know, schools, teaching financial literacy. And then I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with, you know, teaching about finance, business, entrepreneurship, wealth building. Like, I fell in love with that. And I really just started off as saying, man, we could really, you know, close the wealth gap. If we speak in the language that we understand. And so 2009 was my official start. I wrote my first book, Mind Right, Money Right, 10 Laws of Financial Freedom, which I call it the hip hop version of Think and Grow Rich, where I saw the concepts of Think and Grow Rich, put it in a language that we could understand. And that was just the beginning of it. And, you know, so 15, 16 years later, I'm here.
I want to ask you this. When you write your book, what, like, because I'm someone who wrote a book. And I'm trying to, like, I have somebody offering a deal, but I guess the book world is slow.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm a hustler.
Yeah.
I feel like I got crack on my computer and I want to sell it bad.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
That's like, why I self-published,
actually,
though, too.
That's what I'm about to say. So that's what I'm about to ask you. Like, how, so you say you want to write a book. Like, where does that audacity come from? Like, I was talking to someone yesterday. I did an article for Black Enterprise. I'm doing a monthly article right now. And, you know, I was talking to someone. They asked me, like it was talking about black businesses, black wealth. And I was like, what you don't understand about us, our people is that we are not given, we are not taught to be audacious. We're almost taught to just almost like our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents were afraid of America.
Facts, 1,000.
Afraid of what America would do
history,
to us. Because of the history. So they would keep us in the house, keep us close, and not really prepare us for the world. So, you know, when, so now that's why I'm, what we're doing, I say, is superhero work, because we're saving. We're giving information out. We're giving, right? 1,000. Obviously, you know, the money, but think about if we were selfish. Think about if we were the guys that wanted to hold the information. It was like, I'm gonna just charge you every time you need something, like a lot of lawyers do, you know, things like that. And we give. So I want to ask you, where does the, where did that audaciousness come from? Where did the balls come from to say, I'm gonna go publish this myself? Like, what, like, what was that? Like, did you see it as a kid, or was it you just was like, I'm gonna do it? Like, I'm really asking for a friend who is me.
No,
I wanna know, like, your thoughts.
I just think the obligation, I got an obligation. It's God, really. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that, so I have the saying, right? So it don't matter what your religion is, we're all made in the image and likeness of God, right? Muslim, Christian, whatever you believe in. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. So if I'm made in the image and likeness of God, then I am that, right? Small G, right? And so my acronym for God is greatness on display. Right? And so think about that. Think about if I have all of this greatness, right? I'm a, I'm like, I got kicked out of school 4 times, right? I got kicked out in the first grade, fifth grade, ninth grade, got expelled in the 10th grade, right?
What the hell? You get kicked out of first grade?
I used to fight though. I was angry though. I was an angry kid. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, we should talk more about that, because we don't talk enough about how many young black men are angry at the world, 1,000. Whether their father's not there, whether their mother, whether their mother is telling them, you need to just do this. My mother taught me my entire life to be a victim. I love you, Ma. I'm not mad at her for that. But my mother taught me, like, to, like, sit up straight so these people will come in here and they'll give us a check or smile. And, and it was just like, they're going to help us. And I'm like, fuck them helping us. That's where mine come from. I got tired of my mother looking to other heroes that never came. And I'm like, I'm the fucking hero.
1,000.
Now that I'm 18,
1,000.
And when I got 18, I was like, I got to figure this out and figure it out now. So when I hear you, like, I'm so inspired by you because I didn't have that. Like, I was like, now I'm like, I got to do something. So now I start looking for help. Then I start realizing help wasn't coming. Then I just walked. I didn't even know where I was walking. But you knew where you were walking. You said, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to sell it. And this is what I'm going to do. Like, did you, where did you get that information? Where did it come from?
Yeah, it's the obligation, though. It's the obligation that realized that with everything I've been through, with how angry I was, how most of my friends dead or in jail, like, for real, like, not just a saying, like, most of my friends are dead or in jail, and for me to be the one that got spared, if you will, it would be a dis. I owe, though.
Yes.
I owe.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I know what you mean, like, by that. Like, I owe the world.
I owe the world.
I owe God that for what he gave me.
Right? Because God, so, because the thing is, I don't feel like God, you know, saved me just so I could be selfish and be like, yes, and put my foot up. I'm supposed to be greatness on display. I got to display this greatness.
Yes.
Right? So next time when I do a lot of works in the prisons, my books in the prison system.
For sure.
When I go there, at first they might look at me and be like, nah, what he know about this?
Mm-hmm.
But when I open my mouth and I start talking, they like, oh, he one of us.
Yes.
And so I inspire them, right?
Yes.
My greatness for the right people is not going to intimidate them.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
It's going to say, yo, if this dude, like I was raising the projects, Roaches and Rats, if he could do that.
And he looks like
and
me.
And he looks like me. He talk like me.
He dressed like me. All of that.
And so for me, it's just an obligation.
Yeah.
I actually don't believe I have a choice.
Mm.
Like I don't have a choice. I have to find, it's almost like if COVID was happening right now and I have the cure for COVID, I can't be I can't whisper about it.
Yes.
I have to be loud about that. You know what I'm saying? And so when I watch our black babies dying and going to jail and knowing that the only reason they're doing that is economics.
Yes.
All of it is economics.
Economics,
all of this.
Economics, information.
Exactly.
That's what we know.
Exactly.
With that being said,
yep.
Why, financial literacy is so important. Why aren't we, especially as young black minorities in this country, taught that at a young age?
Yeah.
From in school, junior high school going up.
Yeah, because the way the system is set up.
It was back to what we said about our parents.
Right.
Like our parents, they weren't taught that.
Exactly.
Like generational wealth was not a word that I ever heard spoke in a house that I lived in as a child.
Yeah.
My kids hear that. Your kids hear probably.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Your kid will hear that. Because we are the, that's why I say we have to give our community grace.
1,000.
First
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Here's some grace, bro, because I know you wasn't around it.
Exactly.
But now that the grace is over, when do we start? When do we start doing the work that is going to change our lives? And to me, it's the part that bothers me the most is that it's something that men are supposed to do, but men aren't doing.
Yeah.
Women are doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they have...
But that's designed too, though. You know what I'm saying? When you start thinking about the system, how it's set up, at what point did no one ever cares about the black boy or the black man?
Yeah.
Right? Think about it. Like,
there's no program to help us.
There's no program to help us.
Jail rehabilitation.
That's it.
Yes. Yes.
And even jail is a business.
Yes. Business.
It's a business. So the system is rigged in that way, right? And so when I look at online and there's black man versus black woman, that's by design.
Yes. Yeah.
They push the black woman up. They kick the black man out the house.
Yeah.
Think about the last time you saw a commercial with a black man and black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Outway.
Yep.
It's always interracial.
Yep.
It's either a white man and a black woman, or a black man and a white woman. You've never seen, if you could tell me, right? Mm-hmm. And so subconsciously,
they're programming
us to hate each other, knowing why.
I can
because the power's in our unity.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I think it's a little different.
Yeah.
I think that they're programming us. It's kind of what you said. The unity part. I think they're afraid of us discovering our magic.
1,000%.
Now, let me tell you why I said that. I said this yesterday. I said the most dangerous black man to America is the one that is talented and smart.
Yes.
Talent is a God-given gift.
Facts.
I wish I was 6'9", mm-hmm. 250, that could dunk a ball. Mm-hmm. I wish that I could run a 40 in fucking 4.2, because then I would go out and make my money off my talent.
Facts.
Right? But that's why if you pay attention to... Let me show how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
We have a black man who understood how important talent and smart is that he actually got his son in the NBA.
NBA.
Yes.
Like, love it.
Think
love
about
it.
How powerful that was. But the thing that I want people to understand is that what LeBron did was something that we can't do.
Yeah.
I can't walk in Nike and say, hey, man, I want to work with y'all. Give my man Chad an internship.
Yep.
Oh, CAA, you want to be my agent? You got to let my man Ash Cash work and be that.
Yep.
And then now his guys are running the league or running Hollywood, but that's only because LeBron James was that fucking talented.
Facts.
What about us?
Yeah.
That's what bothered me.
Yeah.
That's what made me say, well, if LeBron could dunk the ball, I could talk.
Facts, 1,000%.
So I'm going to fucking talk.
1,000.
And I'm going to talk what I say and do what I say and say it so when I see you, I'm like, that's why I love people like you. I love people like Neo. I love you guys because even fucking Earn Your Leisure, I love you guys because you guys have made learning cool.
1,000%. Yeah.
And it never was cool.
Yeah.
And now it is.
Yeah.
And not only we see it to be cool, we're seeing people that look like us make millions.
Millions.
When M500 bought a private jet,
man.
I was just talking about that in the car yesterday.
Yeah,
he bought that shit from educating.
Yeah, facts.
It's money and 1,000, teaching each other. 1,000. And he's also changing lives. Absolutely. So I just had to give you that. So so I want to ask you, so you hustle in 2009, you write your first book.
Yep.
How do you walk us through the timeline of how you get to become this guy that's, how many books have you written?
17 right now.
17. Yeah. I'm struggling with one. You got 17. No, bro, look,
we're going to talk because here's the deal, right? You know, and I said this to you, like I first watched your interview with Sean Prez. And I said, bro, this guy's a genius, right?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
And in watching what you've done so far, your knowledge though is on another level.
Thank you.
Right. And so if we literally, right? And so I have a phrase, abundance is your birthright. And it's better than or. So we ain't gotta choose. So I'm saying, all right, yes, if somebody's ready to sign you, all right, you're going to give them that book because they're going to have their hand in it anyway. Yeah. It's like signing to a label.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? They're going to have their hand in it, and they got their people. They're going to have their hand in it ready. But that doesn't mean you can't put out mixtapes.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you cannot put out, you get what I'm saying? That don't mean you can't. You feel what I'm saying?
I love it.
And so I envision a series, especially with what you got right now.
Yeah.
Like, literally, though, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you can make 6 to 7 figures easily and with this play, right? With what you so I call it the 4 E's, right?
Okay.
You need an entry level product or service.
Okay.
You need an examination level product or service.
Okay.
You need an elastic level product or service, and you need an exclusive level product or service.
Okay, you have to break all that down.
I'm gonna break it down.
I like even more now.
Right? I'm gonna tell you 4 E's, right? So you got those 4 levels.
Yep.
So imagine, I'm gonna use you as an example. Imagine that with all of your knowledge of the music business, of finance and all that stuff, there are millions though.
Yeah.
Right? And not just black, there's white, there's millions of people who will pay you for the knowledge that you got.
Yes.
Right? So imagine if you did a book series.
Yeah.
It don't gotta be one book. You can do a book series of different books that break down different aspects of the music business, contracts, business, all that stuff. And then that's your entry level. So people pay you $10, $20 for access to that information.
Got you. So,
right?
So those are the books you sell for the $10.
Right.
Okay, got you.
So because entry level is gonna be like the low income
stuff. People that's like, this is all I can do.
That's all I can do.
I love that.
Right?
Okay.
Then you got the person that want more, which is the examination level. So now you do like a course, right? Because they got a little bit of more papers. So you're going to do a course, and that course is going to teach them more of what they just read, because everybody learns differently. Yep. And so they're going to have that, right?
Yep.
So that's your examination level. Now you're going to have the people that want to be part of the Ray Daniels Nation.
Yes.
Right? The God Nation, whatever you
God
call
squad.
It. Right? The God Squad. They want to be part of the God Squad, and they want access to resources, community.
Yes.
So you build a paid community, right? That's why it's called Elastic.
Yep.
Like Netflix, you keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's Elastic. You keep coming back, right? So now you set up that community, and it's monthly recurring revenue.
Yes.
Then there's the VIP people.
Mm.
Then there's the people that never wait in line.
Yeah.
They don't want to be part of no community.
Yeah.
They want access to Ray directly.
They
want to
call you directly.
Directly.
Yep. I know
you. And so now you create an exclusive group or program for them.
Yes.
And now you cover all spectrums of everything.
Yeah.
And that's how you build a 6 or 7 figure business through, right, the information that you have. But the great thing about it though too is that the information is not, you're not taken away from them, right?
Yeah.
If somebody paid me $50,000 so I could coach them on how to do certain things, I know they're gonna make
real money.
Real money.
They're gonna get it. Our eyes gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be crazy, right?
Yep.
And so the same thing is that anybody who, you know, pays you for an exclusive program where you're coaching them and you're helping them build, that's giving them access that they're gonna make a 6-7 figure, you know, return anyway. You know what I'm saying? And so I would say that's what you should do. Definitely you should create a series of books with the knowledge that you have, while simultaneously, and this is the benefit of getting signed. Like for me, right? Like I got 40 books in my head.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying?
I got like three. I got like 13 right now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I got 40 books. So I know if I would take a deal right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody came to me and said, yo, I love what you're doing.
Yeah.
We would love to sign you and do this deal.
Yeah.
I would do it. Why? Because the light in the marketing will bring light
bigger
back to what I'm doing, right? Because I got, you know, like my wake up call. I did a book called The Wake Up Call, Financial Lessons Learned from 444, which is actually what I believe kind of took me to the next level.
That's so smart, bro.
Yo, right?
That's brilliant.
And let me tell you how to start. So I'm a Big J fan, right?
Yeah, me too.
And I was listening to the 444 album, right? June 30th, 2017, midnight.
Yep.
If you know, you know.
Yep.
I'm listening to this album, And everybody's talking about him cheating on Beyonce. Mm-hmm.
And what, yep.
I said, bro, that's 20% of the album, yo. That's 20%.
That's not the meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes is generational wealth. Yep. Don't go to the strip club. Yep. Get your credit right. Yep. Buy a house. Wills, trust, estate. So I'm like, bro, are y'all kidding me?
That's
are
one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite Jay-Z albums.
He used that album to upgrade.
Bro, 1,000.
That was to me. That was his atonement album.
1,000%.
That was his. That was for him.
1,000.
Because I like that he said, I could have bought a house in a building in Dumbo for $2 million. Now it's worth $25 million. Mm. Dumbo. Like, I like that he said it because it's like we're watching someone who's worth $2 billion right now saying, I could have been worth six.
Being vulnerable, though, too. And we've never seen that level of vulnerability from him.
What's your favorite Jay-Z song?
Favorite, You Don't Know.
Yeah. My favorite, what's your favorite Jay-Z song?
You said You Don't Know?
Yeah, You Don't Know is my favorite, 1,000%.
Jay? Ain't, Heart of the City.
Mm. Yeah.
My favorite Jay-Z song, Allure.
Mm.
I want to know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, I want to make, and I'm saying this on record, I want to make a movie or a show called Allure based on that song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The way he talks about, because if he starts off, the Allure, breaking the law, he's telling you everything. But, but that song, he breaks down the mentality of every young black boy in America.
Yeah.
The law of breaking the law is always too much for me to ever ignore. I got a thing for the big body Benzes. It does my senses. In love with a VW engine, man. I'm high off life. Fuck it. I'm wasted. Bathing their kids. Like, I got that.
Facts. So
and then I like, and then he says, I know how this movie ends. Still I play the star role and hold Vito's way. What?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and by the way, and the reason why I wanted to say that is because I want people at home to understand the power of hip hop.
1,000. Yeah.
You can get in a booth and say something that doesn't move the needle.
Yeah.
But, dog, Jay-Z has birthed more millionaires, 1,000, more young 1,000%. Black millionaires from his albums.
And then
anybody else.
But let me tell you, so there's universal law. So you can look this up. Universal law, there's the power of I am, the power of I, right? What people don't realize is that Jay is the most affirmative artist ever.
Because
every time he's saying, I did something, if you repeat it, you're saying that you did it. So which is why I love You Don't Know. Right? Where he's like, where he was like, I came into this motherfucker, 100 grand storm. Nine to be exact from grinding G-Packs. Put this shit in motion, ain't no rewinding me back. Right? And so what he's saying, right?
I got an idea. Oh my God, I got an idea.
Yeah.
I got an idea. We should do a book on Jay-Z lyrics and dissecting how his lyrics changed our lives. And like,
I'm with it.
Because that's a book. No,
well, 1,000%.
Like, and by the way, I work with Roc Nation.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I can get it directly 1,000. To him. But imagine, like, imagine us, two black millionaires who have this guy as our goat, who can admit we learned from him writing the lyrics. So when you, like, I've been wanting to do a video, like, talking about hip hop was built on affirmations for 1,000, black people.
1,000.
Like, I got it made.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. Every other day, I got a brand new car. That's all we wanted to do.
Plenty.
I want to steal one more.
Got a lot of Honda scooters that 74.
Bro, I got the riches. When you saw that nigga in the fucking, and that hoverboard, and that hover.
But you got to think about it. But especially, and it just blew my mind because that was the first song that I'm 8 years old listening to MC Light and Special Ed, bro.
That's what I'm telling you.
And think about it. That whole song is an affirmation.
The whole song.
I'm talented. Yes, I'm gifted.
Never boosted, never shot lifted.
I got the cash. The money ain't nothing. Make $1 million every record that I'm cutting. I'm saying that at 8 years old, I'm saying, like, it was inevitable I would be a millionaire. Make $1 million every record that I'm cutting. And my name is Ash Cash, and I'm right?
No, what Jay-Z said, that's what I said, I want to do a book, because what Jay-Z said, all I need is the love of my crew. The whole industry can hate me. I thug my way through. I was like, that? Because at the time, I was kind of being like Ray's a dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody likes him because, and I'm like, but he said it.
Right.
Fuck y'all.
Exactly.
All I need is the love of my crew.
Exactly.
And those are things that gave me confidence to know I was right.
1,000.
And to me, I want to do it just because he's the richest man in hip hop. He's 1, all these things. He's the smartest man in hip hop. But like, even as a man that did learn more from Jay-Z than I did my own father.
Facts.
And I love my father.
Facts.
My father's the fucking man to me.
Yeah.
But I learned more from the world about how to be successful from Jay-Z.
Absolutely.
And to me, I just feel like, I just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
And not only that, I want to show the young hip-hop nation, I want them to read it and be like, damn.
Yeah.
That man motivated us.
Yeah.
A nigga, so cracked. So hopefully he told us.
Don't do that, right?
It was like he came in from, like you said it, the affirmations, the way he came in the game. And it was like, when that nigga said, I'm still spending money from 88. What?
Sheesh.
In 1996?
Sheesh.
But niggas, I'm spending money from 88, nigga.
Double level, see? Yeah.
Who the fuck is this man?
Exactly. The first line on that second verse is, I want money like Cosby. Mm.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? But talking like that, tell me you must not have no pudding.
He came out the gate. But like, this is me. But like, see what it is.
I know we're getting off sidetracked. I'll get back to you, but I'm saying, but like, because it's dope because I know where you were at because I was there.
Yeah, 1,000.
Listening like, okay, I can. He was kind of the first dude that made you see like, Biggie was bragging on being rich.
Right,
yes.
Jay was showing you how he
showed
got
you the
rich.
Game, 1,000%.
Like, and to me, that was like, and the lyrics is in there, so.
And you got to think though, too, I mean, for me, so I grew up in Harlem in the crack era, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm around hustlers all day.
Yeah.
And I, you know, salute the Wu-Tang Clan, salute the Nas, salute the Mobb Deep. But these is the, like, if you understand the hierarchy in the hood, you got the stick up kids, you got the dudes who, you know what I'm saying, going to jail and all that. Where was the person talking to the hustlers? Right? Jay is that guy.
He's the only one.
Cause I got busy, like my hands work.
Yeah.
But I'm packing bags, bro. Yeah. I need to get this money.
Nobody giving it to me.
Nobody giving it to me. I need to get this money. Who's talking to me?
Yes, who's talking to
I'm
me?
I'm not going C-74 Adolescents at War. Cool. I got my friends are doing that.
Yeah.
So that's gonna inspire them. Who's inspiring me to keep getting at it?
And the crazy thing is that if you think about it, who has been next to do that?
Yeah.
Since him.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody.
No. Yeah.
Like, Lil Baby talks about how he took his homies out the hood and got rich, and he said that. But I'm talking about directly speaking to the hustler.
Hustler, yeah.
And there's a hustler in us all.
1,000%.
And there's a fucked up nigga in us all. There's a pitiful nigga in us all. There's a nigga in us that we can allow to lead.
Right.
As a man, I know I can control what man comes out.
Yeah.
So, and the only way you can do that is by being emotionally intelligent.
Yep.
Like, that's the most important thing you have to be is emotionally. That's one of the books in my head. I want to write a book on emotional intelligence. How emotional intelligence is more important than any intelligence in the world.
Yeah.
Because I don't care how much you know, if you can't receive someone telling you something, and even if you don't like who's saying it, if you're focused on what they're who's saying it, then what they're saying, you're not emotionally intelligent.
That's a fact.
You're emotional.
Exactly.
Why the fuck? Who you? And it's like, no.
Exactly.
No. Coming up, and for me, it was different because for me, I was a fuck up until I was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fuck up. And then I met this guy named Banja, and he was an African, and he was telling me about all of the things. He was my Malcolm X.
Yep.
He was like, yeah, you was taught to do this, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You were taught to do that, and that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Ray, you think this. Ray, you think because you have more money that he should, and it was just shit that I never, and I'm like, but the person that has the most money is the person people should listen to. He's like, no, it don't matter. You might have just came at the right time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That man has the knowledge, the game, the understanding, and he is going to be our leader because he's the oldest. And so it's shit that I hate it, but it taught me.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to win so bad, I had to erase my ego.
Yeah.
And I can tell when someone wants to win, and I know you can too, because if they'll defend.
Absolutely.
They'll defend their position.
Exactly.
And it's like, it goes back to what we was talking about. If motherfuckers said they made hole, okay.
Make another hole. Make another one.
Nigga
wasn't paying their day job.
Come on.
So we spent it late. J-Lo.
Come on.
Should have been did it, but I've been in the days, though.
Come on, bro. That was trying to tell you, like, I can do this shit all day because I'm telling you, like, these are lessons that I learned.
Facts.
But and when we was talking, I was thinking, like, motherfuckers said they made hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Make another one.
Hope. Facts, yeah.
Hove is different.
1,000.
He's special.
1,000.
And we have, and to me, it's like, what's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holler at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holler at us to get to YKTV.
I feel like we all are special, but we have to tap into our specialness, but we don't because we're focusing on how much special he is, exactly, or how much better they are. So it's like you can look at LeBron dunk and be like, I wish I could do that,
right,
but you can't.
But you can't.
So why don't you look at LeBron's like agent and say, I can do that.
Exactly.
Or yeah. I can do that. And exactly, plus, I can do that for 50 fucking years.
Exactly.
LeBron, I mean, he's defying Father everything, Time right bro. Now, playing yep, 22 yep, years yep, and everything. Yep. But the point is that he's one of one.
Right.
But Maverick, Rich, yep, his son, everything, yep, everybody, his wife just started a podcast. Yep. Everybody around him
yep,
are going to rise with him. And it's because of who he is and what he's done.
Yep.
But I just feel like we have to just tap into our special.
Yep.
And to me, that's what I thought my gift was.
Yeah.
I thought that's why I like talking to people like you, because mm-hmm, I can't see myself.
Yeah.
I'm in the storm.
Yeah.
I can see Donnie though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can see Chad. Yeah. I see Jan. I see Jack. I see all of y'all. Yeah. And I can tell y'all, Sarah, I can tell everybody in here how we can win.
1,000.
It's a role to play. But yeah, I don't know how to tell it to myself because it's me.
Right.
So when you said that, I'm like, damn, listen. I'm like, who the fuck told this
right,
nigga?
Right, right, right.
Because my only goal, yeah, I swear to God, my only goal was to be to hip hop what Tyler Perry was to black churches.
Yeah.
Like I didn't care if I didn't want to make fucking Goodwill Hunting.
Right.
I don't need to make that to make people feel like I'm diverse.
Right.
I want to talk directly to the people
yep,
that are like me,
yep,
where 1,000. I'm from, that want more,
yeah,
because that's the audience that I know the best, and that's the audience that I want to help the best.
Yeah.
So I always want to do that. So when you were saying like, man, the book, and I'm like, this book, yeah, like, who the fuck?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But that, you know why you do that?
Yeah.
Because that's your gift.
1,000.
That's our gift.
1,000.
I could do the same thing with you. 1,000. That's why I'm looking at you. I'm like, damn, okay. Yeah. And I love that you got rappers on the front of your yeah, books. Like, yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like,
and so for me, it was put the medicine in the candy. So I'll tell you, mm-hmm, in 2009, my first book is Mind Right, Money Right, 10 Laws of Financial Freedom. And I was being advised not to mix money with hip hop.
Yep.
Right? Ooh. I was told that. I was said, they was like, black people don't want to, and I won't even shout this person's name out because they're still in the business, but there is a legendary rapper who introduced me to a producer. And in 2010, I think, I was talking about wanting to do a television show, hip hop money. Yeah. And literally they were like, yo, black people do not want to learn about money. That was what I was told, right? So it wouldn't work. And so I listened, and what I did was I followed Dave Ramsey, because at the time, yeah, when I was doing my books, it was just Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman. There wasn't yeah, really nobody yeah, talking about finance.
They the OGs.
They the OGs, you know what I'm saying? So it's a picture of me with a suit on, no tie, but in the book, I'm talking about Tyler Perry, Oprah,
yeah,
Jay,
yeah,
you know, so I almost like disguised it, if you will.
Yeah.
Fast forward, when I wrote The Wake Up Call, because I realized like everybody was focusing on Jay cheating on Beyonce and not the 80% mm-hmm, of the what album, he's yeah, actually talking about. When I wrote that book and it was embraced so well yeah, by the community,
yeah,
I said, I got something. You know what I'm saying? Like I could really just mix.
Yeah.
So I call it hip-hoponomics, right?
Yeah.
So hip-hop economics, let's put it together.
Yeah.
And so when I realized that, I started, you know, just following that model. And so I did Hustlenomics. Hustlenomics is based on Nipsey Hustle,
yeah,
because a lot of people don't realize when Nipsey starts talking about vertical integration, what does that mean to people?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like everybody keeps saying, yo, multiple streams of income, multiple streams of income. And they think multiple streams of income mean in starting different business horizontally.
Yeah.
Nip is like, no, vertical integration, meaning that if whatever, you know, you have you're a very successful music executive. All right. So what businesses can we create vertically as a very successful music executive?
Exactly.
It makes it easier because now you don't got to focus on different things.
Yeah.
Just focus on being the best music executive you yeah, could possibly be.
Yeah.
And now you got a podcast. Now you have a series of books.
Yeah.
Now you do executive coaching. Now you have a group coaching program. All of these does not. So matter of fact, the more successful you become as an executive, the more it feeds all of these other businesses, opposed to trying to say, I'm going to do real estate. I'm going to do crypto. I'm going to do all of these other things that take away, right?
Brother,
and Nipsey was trying to teach that.
Brother, you are so smart.
Appreciate you, brother.
And you're smart because you know it, but you're smart because you can communicate it properly.
Yes, sir.
That is brilliant.
Thank
and
you, brother.
So our company is called LYI. Mm. LYI stands for Leverage Your Influence.
Mm.
And the reason why I started Leverage Your Influence because I would see any, I'm like, I can take, if you got 100 followers,
mm-hmm,
I can take you mm-hmm, and build you up to be a business.
Yep.
This podcast was my social experiment mm-hmm, because I would be in so many offices with so many artists. And I'm like, bro, like, you're looking at it wrong. Like you have influence. Like, just like, stop trying to sell them music. Right. Sell them you.
Absolutely.
What do they know you for? Yep. Then once they give them you, then put whatever they know from you into the music, yeah. Right? And it's like you said, it's vertical integration. So when I'm hearing, I'm like, damn, this dude is smart, because that's what I tell people. I'm like, why are you diversifying?
Right.
Add on.
Exactly.
Like, hip hop is that.
Exactly.
Like, we sold records, and then we realized they was drinking at the records. Then we sold liquor.
Exactly.
And we realized they was wearing fucking our clothes, and we sold clothes.
Exactly.
And we sold. Facts. And now we're realizing their kids watching us, and we're selling so much more.
Yeah.
And we have headphones, and it's really, it goes back. It's like when Dr. Dre went to Jimmy Iovine. The famous line is that Dre had someone offer him a sneaker deal, and he went to Jimmy. What makes Dre brilliant, because. Mm-hmm. Jimmy wasn't his manager. Right. Jimmy was his confidant. Mm-hmm. And he went to Jimmy and he said, hey man, somebody wants to sell, somebody to sell sneakers. They want to give me a deal for sneakers. And Jimmy said, don't sell sneakers, sell speakers.
Mm-hmm.
You're the music man. Right. Why are you selling sneakers?
Right.
$4 billion later.
Later. Now they understand us.
See what I'm trying to say?
Right.
So for me, it's like, so for me, another thing about LYI was I wanted, so it's like, I'm you. So I could take, I said, let me show you how to do something, right? That's why I love about what you're saying, because all I'm saying is that, bro, you're so worried about how they have millions.
Right.
It don't matter if they have millions. I could press a button right now and give anybody in this room 10 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't fucking matter if you don't have fucking people who are going to be activated at your word.
Absolutely.
And if you got, I'd rather somebody that has 10,000 strong followers than a million passive.
Facts. Yeah.
Give me that 10,000. You can make 10,000 people spend $100,000. $100, you just made $1 million.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Easily.
Right? So for me, it's like, you're looking at it wrong.
Yeah.
Leverage your influence.
Facts.
Like, I would tell artists, I'm like, why would you sign to a major label when you have more followers than them?
Exactly.
That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
What can they say that you can't say?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, now partner with them, maybe give them a small piece, but learn their infrastructure and build your own infrastructure, because we all are walking businesses.
Right.
We just
don't see it that way.
That's why I love that you said the vertical integration, because if you're known for fucking wearing shorts, then sell shorts,
exactly.
My nigga.
1,000%.
Like, whatever you're known for.
Yeah.
Leverage sell that. Leverage that shit.
Yeah, like, leverage it. Yeah.
And Jack, Burgundy Jack, like, his favorite color is burgundy. Nigga, like, why are you not doing something with that?
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's whose favorite color is burgundy?
Exactly.
Like, his. You know what I'm trying to say? He probably ain't saying about that shirt.
No, he ain't saying nothing. No, I'm like,
he gonna ask you when you leave, where you get it from.
Yeah, yeah.
This nigga, dog, ass.
With the burgundy. With the burgundy ones, though.
You walk into a store. A fucking Zara, the biggest, ever got 1,000 clothes. And Jack will see it'll be like in the back in the corner. Oh shit, they got some burgundy shit over there. And I'm like, nigga, if you don't do something with that fucking shit, that's how you have to think.
Yeah.
Vertical integration. Stop going outside of yourself.
Yeah.
Go within yourself. Whatever works for you. We're starting a business right now. Mm-hmm. We was in New York.
Yeah.
And we love the product.
Yep.
That's why we're doing it.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the business. It's like, I want that shit here too.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I want it for myself also. I need, like, I can't wait to eat that. So vertical integration is something that, like, I have to read the book now.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah, it's my most popular one too. Absolutely.
That's the Wake Up Call.
No, the Hustlenomics.
Hustlenomics, right there.
Yeah. So Wake Up Call was my so one and two. So Hustlenomics by far is my most successful book. Wake Up Call is right after that, and it really, you know, again. You know, I have a whole section where I'm teaching people how to do business plans and executive, right? Because I understand
I got about a book.
Who his audience is.
I need it.
And they need that. They need it in their language.
Yeah.
So that's why I put the artist in there, cover the eyes, because again, covering the eyes. So if you know, right, anybody that is, they don't want you to know their identity.
Yeah.
The eyes get covered.
Yeah.
So they don't want you to know this knowledge.
Yeah.
And so, let me cover the eyes. So that's where that comes from.
I love that.
And really, it's putting the medicine in the candy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know you're consuming this anyway.
Yep.
So let me give you what I know you need in the language that I know you're going to consume it.
I'm going to give you what you think you want, but it's really what you need
right
now.
Exactly.
It looks like what
it
you
looks,
want.
Right, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Question. What are some of the biggest misconceptions when it comes to finances, i.e. like bankruptcy, different things like that.
So I think the number, especially for our community, I think the number one thing is that you gotta work hard for money. I think that we don't understand that the goal, if you wanna be okay, if you wanna survive, right, then go ahead, work hard for money. The truth is, you gotta change your relationship with money. Money needs to work hard for you. Yep. And so you have to figure out if you don't come, like, you know, a lot of us didn't come from money. Mm-hmm. And so first you have to work to earn.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So you're going to work to earn. But when you earn that money, don't use that money to just spend and create that cycle where you have a dependency on working. You have to focus on taking that money and investing in income producing assets and let those assets be the thing that builds the wealth for you, right? Yep. So I think that's number one. Number two, you mentioned bankruptcy. I think that a lot of us look at wealth building tools, and you mentioned this earlier, Ray, because we're so emotional. We don't have emotional intelligence. A lot of us are emotional that we try to move away from tools that actually help us, right? Yeah. Like debt is a wealth building tool. Yeah. It's not what's gonna give you what you want now and you pay for it later. Well, debt is a wealth building tool, because in fact, if debt didn't exist, how do we become homeowners? How do we buy commercial buildings? How do we, you know, put ourselves in position to buy real estate if debt wasn't available, right? Bankruptcy is a business restructuring tool, right? There are laws that protect you as a business. The reason why you go into business and do a LLC, limited liability company, means that you want to limit your liability personally.
Yep.
Right. And so if Ray has a family, right? Ray has built wealth. If LYI does something and somebody's trying to go after LYI, why should Ray Daniels suffer from that if the business did it?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
For sure.
And so that's what bankruptcy is about. Bankruptcy is a restructuring tool. It helps you restructure, because a lot of us are embarrassed. Oh, my credit.
Yeah.
Oh, my bankruptcy, or whatever these tools are. You know, the people who have wealth use these tools all the time, right? Mm. Donald Trump has filed for bankruptcy many times.
Yep. Yes.
Right?
It's protection.
It's protection. And I think that if we start to understand the language of money, because that's all it is, right? If somebody walks into this room right now and starts speaking French to us and none of us know how to speak French, we're going to look at them like they're crazy, though.
Yep.
Right? If they're doing it passionately, like they're in your face, like with passion and speaking in French and they're telling you this thing, it's not going, fam, I don't understand you.
Yeah.
And now I think you're crazy. You could be telling me something so poignant. Mm-hmm. But because I don't understand French, I think you're crazy.
Yes.
And so now if that same person understood how to speak English, comes in here with the same passion and tells us it in English, now we understand. So the same thing with money. Money's a language.
Yeah.
And so instead of trying to, everybody who's like, yo, I want the community to do this, speak their language. And if you speak their language, you'll understand. Like I'll give you a prime example. Like, people who kept talking about GameStops and derivatives and all that. Mm. Yo, I used to play CeeLo all the time. That's what options are.
Yeah.
Options are the side bet. That's
it.
Options are the side bet.
Yeah.
I bet you $5 he won four or better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's an options for you. Right? And so if I'm trying to go to the hood and I, yo, you should invest in options. What? Options not. Yo, bro, I'm telling you, NVIDIA's going up.
Yep.
But if you don't want to get in fully on NVIDIA, we could do a side bet that it's going to keep going up. Oh, you don't believe NVIDIA's going to keep going up?
Bet is going to go down.
Yo, just bet it's going to go down. So it's all about the language. So I just think, so those are the misconceptions. And I think that, you know, we just got to, like, learn that language. You know what I'm saying?
Inside the vault, I'm going to ask you. Obviously, I tell people, I'm like, podcasting is a cheat code to networking.
Oh,
yes.
Like, if 1,000%. You want to network, start a podcast.
Yeah.
Because if someone walks up to me and say, Ray, I need an hour of your time to have a conversation, I'm like, no, you're going to have to pay me for that.
1,000.
Yeah. But when you put a camera on there, now I'm marketing what I know to an audience that you have.
1,000.
So I tell people about how important podcasting is to networking. Now let's go to, you started a podcast, Inside the Vault.
Yeah.
What was your thought process going into the podcast? And then my next question is, what are the top things that you learned from Inside the Vault that you was like, whoa.
Mm. Love it.
Because it's a learning tool. 1,000. Like, if you're curious about money, start a podcast about money.
1,000.
And guess what? You're going to be talking to money people.
All the time.
And now they're listening to what you know. And now, Earn Your Leisure, those guys built a fucking world.
Facts.
Asking questions 1,000%. About finance.
1,000.
They got trucks. They got fucking festivals.
Yeah.
They, like, dog, all they, not all, because obviously it's more. He has Michael, all those guys over there getting busy. But if the gist of it is,
right,
we want to talk about money.
Money, exactly.
And we want to ask people, and now they're multimillionaires and have a company worth millions and shit. It's crazy right now, right?
1,000.
So I'm asking you, like, what was the thought process going into Inside the Vault?
Yeah.
And also, what are five things that you learned about money that blew you away as AshCash?
Yeah. So I think, so number one, like when I moved to Atlanta 2018. So I've been here for about 6 years, right? And for prior to that, I had a radio show. I did radio for about 4 years, you know, on a community radio station, you know, 90.3 FM, right? And I just, to that point, though, I loved interviewing people. I loved learning about people. So I had the show, the AshCash show, you know, every Friday. And it was something that I loved. And so when I got to Atlanta, I wanted to get back on radio.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get back on radio, but I didn't realize how political radio is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In Atlanta, you know.
For sure.
So I was trying to move around. And so I was like, man, let me do this podcasting thing, right? And so really Inside the Vault was about, so people don't realize, as a banker, I was a banker 15 years, money and the most valuable items are left inside the vault. When I want to talk to 6, 7, and 8 figure entrepreneurs, the most, all of that, all raised values up here.
Yep.
I don't care what you got on your wrist or around your neck. I don't know, none
you're
of that.
So right.
I don't care about none of that.
It's all of
this is the value. And so I wanted to have a conversation. I want to get inside the vault.
Yeah.
I want, you know, so it was a double entendre to talk about the value that you bring.
Yeah.
And so that was the thought process around it, really, you know, sitting down with movers and shakers and helping other people realize how they can also, you know, do this. And that's why with the show, it wasn't a prerequisite, but everybody I had on the show had to have gone through something, right? Like, like you have to have some type of story. You can't just say, yo, my dad gave me $1 million and now like, what did you go through in order to, like, what's the ins and outs of what you had to go through?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
For
like, one of my favorite episodes I did was with Alex Good Energy, salute to Alex, where we at grown men, we cried on the show because he was talking about, you know, his mom, and I had lost my mom in 2019. And so we talking about that and we just start crying. But one of the things was that a lot of people see him as this trucking guru, but not realize that he almost lost his life.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Alex. That's my brother.
Yo,
man. I love
promotion.
Alex.
And, you know what I'm saying? Like, he almost lost his life off of something dumb. And so those are the type of stories, though, because that inspiration is going to let somebody know, like, damn, I'm out here acting crazy and I could almost lose my life, or I could just return that focus and build a multi-million dollar business on something that's not even, like, trucking is not a sexy thing.
No,
when you look at Alex and you look at his life, so that was the crust of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would say that the top five things that I learned, I think number one is exactly your company, right?
Yeah.
Leverage your influence, because I think that's the number one thing I learned, because when I first started the show, all I cared about, oddly enough, was views.
Yes.
Yo, how many views can I get?
Yes.
How, you know, we started the show and we was focused on television.
Yeah.
Like, how can we get on television?
Yeah.
Let's package this show so we could sell it to a television station.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, now I got 1 million people that is watching this.
Yeah.
And if I got 10% of these people to buy a book, if I got 10% of these people to buy a course, like, that's millions of dollars.
You figured out your influence and how to leverage it.
I figured out my influence. I said, wait, hold on, right? And so the first half of it was all about begging, if you will.
For sure.
Please come see me, come see me, come
know.
See me.
Trust
right?
Me, I know.
Yo, I want to be on television. Oh, can we get this deal? And the second half was like, nah, fam.
Fuck all that.
I am the deal.
Yep.
I'm the deal.
I'm the business.
I'm the business. You know what I'm saying?
I just said that yesterday.
Like, yep. And so that was the number one thing was that. Like, I could leverage my influence, number one. Number two, I could also leverage my influence for other people.
Yep.
Right? Because I am AshCash, and me being next to people automatically gives them. Like me being on this show is big for me.
It's big for me too.
Right? Because you're lending, right? You're lending your credibility. Because anybody who's never heard of AshCash is like, there's no, yo, he gotta be somebody that Ray let him be on the show.
Yes.
So I just borrowed like
the viewers, exactly.
And so I realized there's value in that.
Yeah.
And so now I started doing affiliate deals with people, right? Yeah. Like I bet I'm gonna put you on a show. I'm gonna give you some game, and so let's eat.
Let's sell, right? Yep.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
You got a product or service? Let's eat, right? Yep. That's number two. Number three is a concept that I knew but I didn't realize. And salute to my sister, Dana Christian. She has leveraged credit cards to build a multi-million-dollar real estate portfolio.
Mm.
Man, when I tell you to
get again, I want to hear, say that.
Dana Christian.
Okay, cool.
Yep, and she's actually writing a book called the Credit Card Millionaire, where she's teaching you how to build millions of dollars with credit cards, right?
I go out to check
and
her
so
out.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. I'm like, so she's teaching how you could take out credit cards, 0% credit cards, liquidate that, put that in a income producing asset, use the asset to pay back the credit card. Now you own that asset.
Yep.
And so that was something that blew my mind.
Yes, that's really
number
good.
Four, government contracts. I don't think we give
we're
it.
Not, it's big money now.
It's big money. And so salute to my brother Jay White. He came on there. Also, we had another young lady, Kawana D, come on there that talks about government contracts, that talks about all of the billions of dollars that the government has to spend for products or services that that we
and
have.
By the way,
anyway.
And by the way, it's not like what you would think, like military stuff.
Right.
It's like teaching
exactly
it could be teaching financial literacy.
Absolutely.
To a whole bunch of kids in a community, and you bid on like it's a lot of opportunity.
You gotta think about it, right? So like for instance, the Department of Education is something is a part of the government that I'm actively pursuing, right?
For sure.
They already have their budget on what types of things that they're looking for within their fiscal year.
Yeah.
And so all I gotta do is find a budget, look at what they're asking for, and see how all of my different books, my products, and my service fit into that.
Have you met somebody over there yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, I can help you with that.
All right, perfect.
I got head of education for in the Biden. I got his daughter some tickets to a big concert and made the artist meet. I never met him. I just knew that he was like, this guy's running, taking Biden stuff over.
Yeah.
You should know him. His daughter wants to go see this artist. Do you know the people? I was like, yeah. And I got him, they met everything. Mm. But he was like, anytime you need something, let me know. And I'm like, when am I need something?
Right.
Now.
Leverage your influence.
I need to see them. That's what it's about,
yes,
bro.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I'm glad you said that. Now, you finish. I'll connect you with them.
Yep,
for sure.
Yep. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? So number four. And then number five, man, what out of all the things I learned doing Inside the Vault, I would say, you know, what you said, you know, I would say it is the best networking tool ever.
Yes.
I've made eight figures.
Yeah.
Through a partnership that wouldn't have happened without the show.
Exactly. And that's what I want people to understand.
Yeah.
It is not about the views.
Yeah.
The conversation is the most powerful thing happening.
1,000%.
And I was the same way, focused on the views. I remember, you know, obviously where I was watching Inside the Vault, I used to go on the Earn Your Leisure channel, and I was watching it build. I was like, they got it. They built it. So I'm like, fuck, how do you do it? And my thing was, well, instead of figuring out how to do it, just start.
Absolutely.
Because I always know, like, of course you're looking for the elevator. How can I get to the 10th floor the quickest? But then you just realize, man, even if you do get a ride up there, it's going to cost you 1,000. So much that it's not going to be worth it.
1,000.
Just walk up the stairs. Start walking and learn.
And on your way up, there's conversations that you're gonna have, right? And then here's the other thing that I realized too, that people don't give credit to, is that business is a constantly revolving scale.
Yes.
And so even now, you know, 2021 and 2022 were financially my best years, right? Collectively eight figure years. But then 23, the same thing that happened in 22 wasn't happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I'm still a seven figure business, but I'm not.
But you understand it though.
You know what I'm saying? And so my process or my point is that even if you figure it out, things are always going to change. So you always got to be around people who are in the game.
Yes.
Right? So we talked about LeBron earlier. LeBron 2004 is not the same LeBron 2024.
No. Mm-mm.
It's a different game.
No.
And so he has to actively evolve and become a different LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron's not the same guy. He's evolved into a different person, but he has to surround himself around people, which is why the power of networking, the power of masterminds, right? Like, you know, I'm always talking to Rashad and Troy about, all right, what's next? What are you seeing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mark, you mentioned him 500, one of the smartest brothers I've ever met. Like, this dude is one of the smartest guys. Like, his brain
how
is
how the fuck does he even think?
Yo, like, his like, brain bro, is different.
Crazy.
And so to have access to be able to talk to him, you know what I'm saying? Neo, like, you know
like
what I'm saying? My brother
ball
Storm.
Ball of fire of, like, energy like, and, like...
Bro, when I tell you, I haven't met with Neo, I haven't met anyone as positive as... how do you... Like, he's my motivator.
The thing I like about Neo is he is exactly... Who you see?
1,000.
He's that.
1,000.
Like you run into him, you're gonna get some game.
1,000.
And
1,000.
To me, like you have to move. Like cameras are watching
24/7.
And if you believe in God, you gotta move like God is watching.
Facts.
And you know, once you so when you out and about and people run into you. So when I ran into those guys and it was like game, it was like, yeah, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cause you know, you meet some people that's like, I can show you how to get rich.
Right.
All you gotta do is what I did.
Join my program,
and they talk for like 30 minutes and you're like, this nigga ain't said
ain't
a fucking word.
Facts. Yeah.
He's still telling me to join his program.
Yeah,
like, and for me, it's like you gotta give the people something. That's how you build your credibility.
1,000.
Like to me, it's like the idol for me was my idol. Was Gary V. Because when I was working at the labels, every time I met an artist, they wanted to meet Gary V.
Yeah.
And it was weird to me because I'm like, what the fuck does he know about music?
Right.
I know more about music than him. And then I was like, you know what? He cares.
Yeah.
And all these people, all these kids, these families, these parents, all they care about is, do you really care?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you really care, they will get behind
1,000.
Your movement because they know you give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are like, Shaq is so rich. Mm-hmm. Shaq is like, I'm not going to endorse a product that I don't use. And to me, it's like, that's that vertical integration thing you said. Like,
absolutely.
If it's not a part of you, I just want more people to look inside of themselves and realize that. It's like the Balchemist book. It's like, you go on this journey to realize that everything you needed was
right here.
And it's like, but I get it. Sometimes you got to go see.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, I had to start a podcast to see how hard it is or what it is. And, you know, it's a hard game. But I'm going to tell you what I see going on from the podcast side. I think if you pay attention, everybody's views are going down.
Yep.
But that's because people are not at home as much
anymore. Exactly, I agree.
People want to be outside.
I agree.
Right? So now that people are outside, you have to give them experiences now. Mm-hmm. That's why InvestFest, there's going to be 30,000 people there this year.
Facts.
Like, they might, those 30,000 people are outside now. And sometimes it's hard to like sit down and watch or listen.
Yeah.
So I think that the thing to do is taking Inside the Vault outside. Like taking it to on a tour of like teaching black people financial literacy.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's the next step because then you'll see how many people, and it's easy for you. Just go to a city, talk to some of the successful people there. They're going to want to do it because they're successful.
Absolutely.
Have the thing and have fucking 1,000 people pay you $20 a ticket.
Yeah.
You just made $20,000 that day and you still have the content evergreen to put out whenever you want to.
Yeah.
But the reality is that people want to be outside. They want to experience more. People are spending more money on experiences because they want to be able to pull their phone out and say, look.
Right. I'm here.
Look,
exactly.
Rather than paying for an item saying, look what I got. They want to say, look where I'm at.
Right.
So to me, I like that's why before we got on camera, we was talking about a company approached me about taking a God show on tour. But that's my goal. I'm like, we have to touch the people.
Yeah.
Kanye says something. You like Kanye?
I love Kanye.
Me too.
Kanye, I have a book called Make It Sense of Kanye. Yep.
My nigga, right? I fuck with you. Why did I wish that I met you through a different light. Because I didn't know you had him. You're so dope. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kanye says something on stage.
Yeah.
He said, I went to Nike and he said, give me Jordan deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Nike said, no, you can't get that. And he said, why? And they said, because Jordan sells out arenas.
Mm.
People pay to see him play.
Mm.
And Ye said, where the fuck am I at right now? I'm in an arena with 20,000 people and they came to see just me. And you gonna tell me that I don't deserve a shoe deal? That's why I went to Adidas and took them up.
Yep.
Influence.
Absolutely.
Leverage it.
And knowing your worth.
Knowing your power.
Yeah, knowing your power. Yeah.
Knowing your power. Yeah. Knowing how to use it. So when I'm listening to you, I'm like, bro, you just get it.
Yeah.
You get it. And bro, I want to read every book now.
Appreciate
because,
you.
Yes, because financial literacy is not my thing.
Yeah.
I think my thing that I'm the highest at is emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was my gift. Like, it's hard to offend me. It's hard to piss me off. Mm-hmm. It's like, and if you do piss me off, my natural inclination is to understand you rather than hate you, rather than be like, fuck you, or look what he did to me. Yeah, no, he did that to, he does that to everyone. Yeah, he didn't do that to you. Right. You just ran into him that day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just kind of understanding the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, I love how you see financial literacy. I love how you speak about it. I want to dive into that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I appreciate you,
bro. No, I'm being honest with you, bro. No, and we met through different terms, different ways, but like, now that I'm in the room with you, and it wasn't nothing like that, but it was just, you know, we had a mutual friend.
Yeah.
And now that I'm in the room with you, I'm like, that motherfucker should have got on that wave.
Yeah, 1,000%.
I would have been on that, because the way you the wave.
Yeah, but you know what it is, and we mentioned this before, is that if you're not around the right people, your light could blind people, right? And so if somebody wants light and you're shining too bright, then it's not gonna work out.
Yep.
But if people understand, right, like we said, right? They weren't playing their day role, right?
Yeah.
If people understand, like for me, I do not care about the light.
Me neither.
I don't care about the light.
Give a fuck about
if
it.
If I see somebody who has a skill, because I care about I care about the culture for real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if I see somebody like I've been doing this for a long time. If I was egotistical and I saw like Earn Your Leisure come out and blow the way they did, I'd have been one of these salty dudes as, yo, I was doing this.
I'm better than them.
I've been doing it first. Nah, you know what I did? When my podcast came out, I had the relationship already. I said, yo, Shotty, yo, Troy, yo, I want my podcast on your network.
On your TV channel.
On your channel.
It goes back to what you said.
Right? I said, yo, because y'all got the pulse of the culture.
Yep.
I care about the culture. I don't care about, I care about Ash Cash, but not that, oh, Ash Cash got the shine. Yo, you know what? Yo, let's sign this EYL deal. Let's go.
And the margins was better for you.
1,000.
Everything worked out for you.
1,000.
And now y'all are building each other. Bro, if somebody asked me to take this right now, I would be open.
Yep.
Like, because I'm like you. If the podcast, the God Show it's a brand that I obviously have created and pushing, but that's not the brand that's going to change the world.
Right.
I'm going to change the world.
Exactly.
So for me, it's like whether I'm on the God Show or on the Tonight Show.
Exactly.
It is the same. It's like, so we be getting caught up in those brands.
Exactly.
And the reality, and I think that's what's going to also change. And we look at what happened with like Puff, right?
Yep.
Like Puff was the man. Mm-hmm. He built the whole brand around him. But as soon as Puff got in trouble.
Exactly.
The brands, everything scattered,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So but if you look at it, that's why I said you gotta act like cameras are watching 24. Even if you, I'm still a nigga from the hood. I still got rage in me. I still be like, I wanna fuck the killer. But I'm like, I gotta remember the outcome on the other side of it because I'm emotionally intelligent enough to know, it's gonna feel good for 5 minutes.
Right.
Then you're gonna be like, what the fuck did I just do?
Exactly.
And now I gotta deal with the consequences of it. So when I see that, I'm just like, that was smart for you. So I want to play this game with him, but we never told him about it.
It's cool. I mean, you know.
Okay, so.
I mean, you know, we're from where we're from, so
okay, cool.
We get our chance
to say. Okay, so, okay. So we have this game we play called Making the Cut. I give you three options.
Yeah.
You have to pick one that you're going to sign, one that you want to put in development, and one you have to cut.
Okay.
You have to vocally say, I'm cutting that.
Okay.
Once you say that, if you decide not to, we sponsor a nonprofit, and every question you don't want to answer is $20 donated to the nonprofit and it feeds the kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Light work.
So I'm gonna give you the first one.
Yep.
And you tell me yours.
Okay.
All right, cool. And it's options. So it comes from anywhere. So 444 album.
Yep.
The Blueprint album.
Oof.
Reasonable Doubt.
Oh. Sheesh.
I feel your pain.
Oh. And so I gotta
say, I'm gonna sign that one.
Develop.
I'm gonna put that one in development, and that one I'm cutting.
Wow. You said 444 Blueprint
and Reasonable Doubt.
And I have to cut one.
Damn, or you can just feed the kids.
Yeah, I'm feeding the kids.
Okay,
yeah,
kids got to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was filthy. No way. Because Reasonable Doubt raised me.
Yes.
Right? So I'm 15 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Reasonable Doubt raised me. 444.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Matured me.
That took me, that made me the man that I have to be today.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right? And Blueprint was the beginning
Blueprint was the start.
The start.
Of it all.
Right. So there's, we're going to feed the kids.
All right, cool. So now I'm going to get a little deeper into it. So Jay-Z, Kanye.
Yep.
This is unfair now because you know what I always say, right? I'm going to say it anyway. Yeah. Jay-Z, Kanye, Drake.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, that's not fair because I'm going to cut Drake, right?
Okay.
I'm going to cut Drake. I'm going to cut Drake. I'm going to sign Jay. I'm going to develop Kanye. I think so. I'm cutting Drake, which I actually love Drake. Though.
Yeah,
I like Drake.
Me too.
I like Drake a lot.
But I only said it's unfair because right now he's in turmoil. Yeah. So it's like,
exactly.
He's the easiest person to cut.
But in full disclosure, I got a Drake book coming out soon. Still.
Can't wait.
Do Right and Kill Everything is what it's called. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still going to put that out. But I'm gonna cut him, right? Because I have to choose. I'm gonna develop him. I think Kanye is one of the most brilliant people
ever
on the planet.
Misunderstood. For sure.
And so that's why I'm gonna help with the development piece. And I'm gonna sign Jay.
That would be my answer if Drake was on fire right now.
Because
my problem is that Drake never gave me nothing.
Correct.
But Kanye and Jay-Z were not only my entertainers, my favorite rappers, they were also my teachers.
Facts,
They taught me how to see the world, and I don't know if Drake, and I think that's probably why he's going through so much right now, because he was just the collecting of everything.
Exactly.
He collected the bodies, he collected the money, he collected the fame, and he never had a responsibility because he's not from America. So, I mean, if Jay-Z didn't do nothing, if Marcy hates Jay-Z, Jay-Z has a problem.
That's a fact.
You a billionaire, you ain't built a playground or nothing for Marcy, 560 A Street, 560 State Street, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I would do it. Okay, cool. I got a few more for you.
Yeah.
This is fun. All right, as a businessman.
Yeah.
50 Cent.
Mm.
Master P.
Mm.
Nas, ooh, businessman.
Ooh. Oh, that's good. Salute to the OG. I love Master P, but I'm cutting Master P.
Okay,
I'm cutting Master P. I'm signing 50, and I'm developing Nas. I'm signing 50 because he's a genius as well.
Yeah,
he understands. He's me, actually, right?
He understands that he is the influence,
absolutely,
the leverage.
Exactly.
He leverages it. Like, this dude is about to probably have a whole city. They're probably going to call Shreveport 50 Cent.
Facts. Facts.
He understands that.
Exactly.
He understands that me being who I am.
Yep.
I can get people to come to a place they never been to.
Exactly.
And so why would I try to beg New York, because that's where I'm from, when I can go to Shreveport and be Tyler fucking Perry?
And then he knows how to talk to the gangsters, and he know how to talk to the billionaires.
And the women and everybody. Everybody loves him. Yep.
So I'm definitely signing him. Developing Nas, and I love Nas, right? So you see
Illmatic
Investor, right? So I love Nas too. But my development for Nas from a business standpoint, and I get why he does it, but he's too quiet.
Yes.
If you Google Nas right now, it says that he's worth $70 million.
Yeah.
There's no way.
He's not. Yeah,
there's
he's
no
worth
way
more
he's
than
worth.
That, yeah.
He had two exits that were billion-dollar exits already.
Yes.
There's no way Nas is worth $70
million. Yes.
But because of who he is, his temperament, he's a little quiet about the moves that he makes, and I don't think that's fair.
Me neither. I don't like it either.
From where he's from, like, you from Queensbridge, bro. And for you to be, I think he's a billionaire.
I think he's
a billionaire. And to be a billionaire and be that quiet, I think you're doing a disservice to the young kids from Queensbridge, from any project
to
around
know that
the world.
It's possible.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You're a superhero that don't have a movie.
Exactly. And that's why I need to develop Nas. I'm developing him. Yeah.
Absolutely developing Nas. Yeah. All right, cool. So I'm going to give you a few more. And I know the era you're from, so I'm going to make it a little hard on you. All right. Who had the best? This, I'm going to go three debut albums.
Yeah.
Ready to Die.
Ooh.
Illmatic.
Yeah.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Who had the best?
I want you to sign.
Gotcha.
The reason why I picked those three is because those are all debut albums.
Sheesh.
I think I know how to go with that.
Sheesh, you said Illmatic.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Ready to Die.
And I got to cut one of these.
Or you can just throw it to the kids.
Yeah, yeah, we donate it.
$40 for the kids.
We donate it. No, I can't. There's no way. There's no way. Because the truth of the matter is that Illmatic and Ready to Die both raised me at a pivotal time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, what, 10, 11 when those came out? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Respectively. And so I'm at a pivotal time, yeah, sure. You know what I'm saying, in my youth. Give Rich or Die Trying.
That album is built the whole Power universe.
Right,
everything
right.
He's done been off album. Yeah.
So we feeding the kids on that one.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right, cool. Cash, personal credit, business credit.
Ooh.
Hold on. I got to put a number on it.
Yeah.
$1 million cash, $1 million business credit, $1 million personal credit.
All right, so I am going to... So I am going to, and this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to cut personal credit. I'm going to develop the cash, and I'm going to sign the business credit.
I have to know why. I need to know why.
I'll tell you. So $1 million to me, $1 million of business credit could get me an asset worth $10 million.
Mm.
So I think about, from a business perspective, I can leverage... Because all people want to see is you got skin in the game.
Yep.
So I could leverage that $1 million in business credit and get an asset that's worth $10 million.
Yeah.
So that's why that. From a cash perspective, I'm going to develop that cash because $1 million in cash, I could build something with $1 million in cash, yeah. Right? I can buy more assets. Mm-hmm. I could invest it. There's things I could do with that cash. $1 million in personal credit, I can only do something personally, which is probably going to depreciate that $1 million, right? Yeah. So what, I could buy a house, I could buy a car with personal credit.
Yep.
That car is gonna depreciate as soon as I take it off the lot. Mm-hmm. That house that I'm not making no money from,
It's just sitting there,
right? And so you think about it. If I take $1 million in business credit, leverage it and get a $10 million asset, that $10 million asset to give me money that I could.
Yeah, because you could use the money from the much you make from the asset to pay the interest down and principal down. And once you pay that million off, you have the asset you
exactly.
own to yourself.
Exactly.
All right, cool. I got two more for you. This is a good one. Think and Grow Rich.
Oof.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oof.
The Richest Man in Babylon.
Ah, so I'm cutting Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay.
I'm cutting Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I am developing Richest Man in Babylon, and I'm signing Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon, Think and Grow Rich changed my whole life. So like without a shadow of a doubt.
How?
Because people don't give power to thought.
Yes.
They give power to practicality, but thought is... So think about this, right? And again, if we're all made in the image and likeness of God, you can't see God. So when they say you made in the image of God, what is that image?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Image is the root word of what?
Yes.
Imagination. So when they say that I'm made in the image and likeness of God, they're saying I'm made in the same imagination as God. Meaning that God is the only being that can think of a thing and make it so, right? As powerful as the sun is, the sun could only sun.
Yep.
As powerful as the moon could only moon.
Yep.
The water, like there's no other function. The water can't do nothing but be water.
Yes.
But as a human being, I can literally have a thought, and in that thought, I could create something from it.
Yeah.
That's what Think and Grow Rich is.
Mm.
Think and Grow Rich is teaching you how to tap into that. Mm. It's saying if you really want to grow rich, right, you have to think first.
Yes.
And in that thought process, that's how you build the riches. Stop focusing on money so much.
Yes.
Think about the thought, and right? So that's why I would sign Think and Grow Rich. I would develop Richest Man in Babylon because the Richest Man in Babylon, it tells you the... that concept that I said, you got to change your relationship with money. Instead of working hard for money, right? So Richest Man in Babylon talks about the money soldiers, right? When you have money, if your money is just sitting in a bank doing nothing, then like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Which equates to, if you think about the Bible, the story of the talents.
Yeah.
Where when they talk about the talents, like God was most pleased with the person that multiplied the talent.
Yes.
Right? And so with Richest Man in Babylon, you're like, yo, let's create these money shoulders. Mm-hmm. Rich dad, poor dad. I had one dad. Mm, you got right. two. Yes. So we gonna cut that.
Yep.
Because
you know what I'm saying? I'm with you on that.
It ain't real.
That ain't real to me. Yeah. You feel me? So, yeah.
So I got one more. Last one.
Yeah.
I'm a movie guy. You like movies?
I love movies. I worked at Blockbusters. There's no perfect. There's
I'm gonna give you three movies about money.
Mm.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm.
Wall Street.
Mm.
And
Cash Out the Gecko.
Oh my God! It's in my head. The Big Short. I'm about to say the Long Short. The Big Short.
Whew. So the Big Short, Wall Street, and
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street. Yep. Right. So I'm gonna cut the Big Short. I'm gonna cut the Big
I want to get into this too.
Yeah. I'm gonna cut the Big Short. I'm going to develop Wall Street, original yep. Wall Street, and I'm going to sign the Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
So Wolf of Wall Street connects with just who we are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like you come from nothing and you build, no matter how you did it, respectfully, like you come from nothing.
It's inspired, yeah.
And you build that. It's inspiration to me. You know, this is why the hood loves Scarface. Right? Yes. We love a hero story. We love somebody come from nothing and build something. So definitely that's why I would say Wolf of Wall Street. Wall Street, you know, I would develop it because it's giving us the inside game. It's showing us how they play the game. Because that's not our game.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying? So they built that game. So it's showing us, you know, how to maneuver, right? How to move in a room full of vultures.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so the Big Short, I mean, I love it's a great movie.
Yeah.
But when you think about the Big Short and what it's, you know, I'm about win-win, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they won on it. Okay, I like that.
You know what
that's
saying?
A really good point.
I'm about win-win. Like, I don't like to be in any situation that I'm taken away from.
Yes.
Right? Because I report to a higher power.
That's right.
Right? And so at the end of the day, there's no relationship that I've ever been in that has not made, even if there's a fallout.
Yeah.
There's no relationship that I've ever been in that the person didn't get better.
Yes. For sure. You know I agree with that. Yeah. Even if you left mad, you got better.
Even if you left mad, you left better
than you was.
Right, than you was. And so for me, that's how, you know, the Big Short, somebody has to lose.
Yeah.
And that's not the game I like to play.
And the last thing I'm gonna say is in Wolf of Wall Street, the one thing it taught you was that like you said, it is us.
Yeah.
It was the scene where his character lost the big job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went down to the penny guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the penny guys talked and spoke like penny guys.
Facts.
Right? They looked like penny guys.
Yep.
And he came in as a dollar guy.
Yep.
So they was trying to sell 200-300 and he sold 10,000.
Facts.
And then, but it was the part where he got on the phone, he started talking. What if I can tell you about the most aerodynamic company, blah, blah, blah. And everybody just kind of looked like, that's how you do it.
Right.
And the point I'm saying is that there are people who are listening to this that feel like I'm dope and no one has seen me.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you that that is not true.
Mm.
You are not dope.
Yeah.
And I'm hear me out.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
I was
hear me out. 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 I'm gonna tell you this. I got you. I'm bringing 360. I got you. Hear me out. So I'm saying. Let me tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying you are not dope. Because if you were dope and people seen you, other people will come around.
Mm.
So the reason why, this is, by the way, this is what Teron and I, where I made most of my money, 85% of my money from, was that exact thing. Mm. Teron was like, everybody tells me I'm dope, but I'm broke.
Mm.
I can't be dope.
Mm.
He said, and I told him he wasn't good. Mm. And he said, I want to work with you because you're telling me how to make what I do better.
Mm.
And fucking here we are,
three hundred million
records sold later.
Yeah.
And it's because that he needed somebody around him that could tell him right from wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that to somebody that's saying, if you're dope,
right,
and someone has seen it, and that means you're not dope.
Yeah.
Because dope sells its motherfucking
facts.
Self.
Dope sells itself. And
by the way, it goes back to like Ash, Cash, and I. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that Ash knew who I even fucking was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
1,000.
You don't know if I know who you are, right? And then until we have a mutual friend, and then we realize, okay, we have to kind of know each other because for whatever reason, and then you start realizing, then you talk and you're like, I saw you on Sean Prez.
Right.
Okay, that's because what I said was dope.
Facts.
And someone dope saw.
Yeah.
And this was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he saw that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You see what I'm trying to say? My point is, I want people to understand this, is that if you're dope, the world will show you.
Facts.
And if you're not, and if the world is not showing you, you are not dope. Mm. Remove your feelings. Yeah. Don't get mad. It might be something as simple as a hairstyle. Mm-hmm. It might be something simple as the way you dress. It might be something simple as, like, I remember when I was getting on some music shit. I remember when I was talking to L.A. Reid, when he told me when they signed Toni Braxton, he said she sounded so much like Anita Baker. Mm. Like, they remember she got signed singing Love Should Have Brought You Home last night at the demo for Anita Baker. And Anita was like, no, that's not me. Mm. But whoever it is that sung it, you should use her. Mm. And it was like, okay, Tony, let's put it out on her. Mm. But the point is that L.A. told me, he said, Anita was jazz. And he said, we knew who she was. They just sounded alike. So with Tony, they would tell her to sing like she had water in her mouth. Mm. So, unmake my heart. Mm. Now, the words are enunciated more. Now I can understand clearly what you're saying, and now I get it. And by the way, Toni Braxton became a 10 times bigger artist than Anita was at their peaks, right? Yep. But the point I'm saying is that that was a simple change.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, our favorite rapper, he used to rap like, and he stopped.
Right?
He was talented. Now, let me say this.
Right.
You might be talented.
Right.
But that doesn't mean, talent doesn't mean you can make a dope product.
Yeah.
The product has to be dope.
Yeah.
Jay-Z was always talented.
Facts.
But he figured out, he was trying to work on his formula for his dope.
Yeah.
And he was rapping fast because he was with a fast rapping nigga.
Right.
And then he realized, and what was his first big hit?
Mm-hmm.
When he rapped from standing on the corners clocking to dropping some of the hardest verses New York has ever seen.
Right.
Like, the slowest record.
Right, the slowest record.
Imagine if Jay-Z was like, nah, this rap shit is dope. They just don't see it yet. We probably wouldn't be here the way we are. Think about how many things have to fall. So I only say that to people to say that, Ash, you're dope.
Thank you, brother.
And you're dope because you're dope. When I watch you, every time I meet you, it's love. But talking to you, it's like this.
Appreciate you, bro.
I wouldn't have left.
Yes, sir.
I would have figured out how to make some shit work.
Yes, sir. 1,000.
This nigga, because even if I can't make money with you the way I wanted to, you can help me make money with me the way you do. You can teach me how to leverage my influence the way you leverage yours.
Yeah.
So even if that's the case, that is dope.
Yeah. And one of my mentors once say, amateurs get paid on the front end. Right? Professionals get paid on the back end. And if you understand what you bring to the table, you know, anybody who's like, yo, I need this now up front, it tells me who you are.
It tells me everything about you.
Everything about you.
If you walk in the room and the first thing you work focus on is the money, it tells me everything about you.
Everything about you. Because for me, and here's the thing, is that I realize, like, I have information in abundance.
Yes.
Right? Knowledge is the one thing you could give away without losing anything. I didn't lose anything by teaching you the four E's and giving you I didn't lose nothing.
You actually gained a friend, because now I'm like, nigga, I want to build with you.
1,000.
That's 1,000. What I'm trying to get you to see.
1,000.
That's what people don't understand.
They don't understand that.
Show your worth.
Show your worth.
You facts. My signature on my email says, show your worth.
Yeah.
Don't just know your worth.
Yeah.
Because people come and say, I know my worth. Mm. How the fuck do you know?
Right, exactly.
Until you show it.
Facts.
And that's what you do. So we have one more segment that we do. It's called Credit Check. You'll like this.
Yeah.
Credit Check. I hate when people say, man, give someone their flowers. Mm. Man, fuck flowers.
Yeah.
Flowers die.
Man, flowers die.
Facts.
And not only that, I can't leverage that shit.
Yeah.
Give me my fucking credit. Even if I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
Tell people what I did.
1,000.
Because I can take that and show people, like, I told you.
1,000.
So I ask people like yourself
to
give us 2 to 3 unsung heroes in the Ash Cast story that you just feel like deserve some credit right now.
So
ideally what we do with this clip is we chop it up, we send it to you, and you can share it with them.
1,000.
They might want to post it for themselves, whatever it is, but it's just really good for those people.
1,000. Yeah. So number one, it got to be my sister Roz, because I wouldn't be Ash Cast without her. You know what I'm saying?
So older sister, younger sister?
Yeah, older sister. So,
okay.
So I talked about getting a job at Blockbuster Videos. That was through her.
Mm.
So, growing up in the crack era, you know what the 90s did. Mass incarceration, like, decimated the hood. And so, around the time, so we talking like 96, 97, where all the OGs are locked up, and it's the Wild Wild West out there. Yeah. So a lot of my, you know, a lot of my friends just started, I mean, it's open now.
Yeah.
And so we the young guys, 15, 16 years old, now we start moving at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of my guys was a big deal in my projects, you know what I'm saying? Like 15, running around with the Chevy Tahoe, getting all the girls and all that stuff. And so at the time I'm like, yo, I need to get some money. Like this hustling in the street thing. And, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I need real money.
Yeah.
And so I was about to start the hustle. And so me and my sister, we really got into an argument where she was like, yo, mommy wouldn't respect that. And you know what I'm saying? So she really was like on me and was like, yo, you not gonna hustle.
Mm.
And so we arguing, and I said, yo, just give me a job then. If you give me a job, then I'm gonna hustle. And I just said that just so I could hear
get
her
out
stop,
your face.
Get out my face. But she got me a job at 17 years old while I was still a senior in high school.
Oh,
so I played ball in high school, but because I got expelled in the 10th grade, I couldn't play basketball my senior year.
Yeah.
And so they, you know what I mean? So I was doing nothing.
Yeah.
And at 17, I wasn't even supposed to get a job. I had to wait till 18. So she got me that job. From her getting me that job, introduced me to one of the assistant managers who introduced me to banking and got me a job as a teller. And then the rest is history. So there would literally be no Ash. I'd probably be sitting up somewhere, to be honest with you, because I was young and dumb.
For sure.
So I'd probably be sitting up somewhere if she didn't intervene. So number one, I'm going to say, you know, my sister Roz.
Shout out. Let's clap for Roz. Yo, I love
salute,
that.
Salute
she
to Roz.
She deserves that.
Man, that's tough, man. But I'm going to give number two to one of my big homies, man, from the streets. I never mentioned your name. I promise respect, right?
Yeah.
But he's gonna know.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, he got busy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He got busy in the streets. And while I was coming up, there was a lot of hate. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of hate. But he protected me. You know what I'm saying?
He saw your gift.
He saw my gift. And he protected me. I'm talking about like I'm like he got busy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the mere fact that I was connected. He was able to extend a lot of protection around me because, you know, in my early 20s, I'm already a bank. I'm getting money. I'm driving. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm fooled.
Yeah.
For you know what I'm saying?
For
people
sure.
know I'm fooled. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm still living in the hood. I didn't leave the hood to like 25.
Mm.
So from 19 to 20, I'm a VP at 24. So like from 19 to 20, I'm getting money.
Yeah.
But that's still that age where.
It can go any way.
It can go either way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So salute.
Big homie kept
you
focused. I love that.
You know what I'm saying? So he kept me focused. And I'll give you even one better. Once a lot of the people, this is when like check fraud and all that stuff started to happen. A lot of people realized that I worked at the bank.
Ooh.
You had a lot of people like, yo, we can run this up.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, if you don't, like he would just give him a look. Like, yo, if you don't get away from this dude.
Yeah.
And so even on a higher level, a lot of the dudes that was getting money who was trying to get me to, you know, bust checks and all that, he, like, protected me for that. When I started to, like, get on my grind from an entrepreneurship perspective, he always made sure, I was, like, in the startup phase, I was good. So, I'm a salute the big homie, 1G. He, you know what I mean? Like I said, you know, if you know, you know. Lastly, credit got to be my wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, my wife is... they're really like where I like every single day she even today though like every single day she pushed me to be better like every day I'm talking about even right now she'll look at me and be like yo Ash you're not even you're not even operating at the level that you could operate on. She actually was the one that took me out of the streets right.
Ooh.
Like literally I was playing a corner all the time and when I met her actually you know, I was sexually active very early, you know what I'm saying? So I've always had girls.
Sure.
That was no issue there. And she was the first person that helped me respect women.
Because
I only looked at women
as a pleasure.
Yeah, as a pleasure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she broke my streak, right? Because any chick I got, what you got through the door, that's it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
you know, right?
For sure.
And the first time we went on a date, you know what I'm saying? We in a crib and she like, nah, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I like I'm bugging. Like, are you mad? What are you talking about? Like, that couldn't even register, right? But we wound up that first night just talking for like 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I was like, oh, like it gave me a different look on women. And we've been together 21 years now, you know what I'm saying? And
Let's clap for his wife.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Salute, salute.
Let's
salute
clap for his wife. Yeah,
my heart,
that.
My everything. Yeah, she's definitely, again, to this day, like, she's involved in everything I do. She's really, and here's the other thing, though. She's really good at deciphering energy.
Yes.
So anytime I wanna feel somebody energy, I just bring her around.
And she'll tell you everything.
And she'll tell me immediately, and I'm like, all right, bet, thank you. Cause sometimes I may not be able to see, but she could feel.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so I wouldn't be who I am. So I would say Roz, 1G, me, those are my credit.
I just wanna say, man, you just really triggered something. I wanna say I'm gonna speak to women, but we black. Everybody in this room is black. I want to speak to black women. I know that this narrative of, like, finding a rich man and finding a man that'll pay all your bills. And I get that, baby girl. Like, it's like, shit, life is hard, but life's hard for everybody.
Yeah.
But those women, if you can be a woman, and there's a short source of rich men out here who, because, I mean, if he got rich by himself, he damn sure ain't going to stop
facts,
for you.
Facts.
I was just talking about this yesterday. My girlfriend, when I was 19, made me a man. Mm. Shout out to her, because we met, had sex, we was working together, and then I remember her sister, the day after we had sex, her sister came to the airport, like, we got evicted, and you need to leave, because all our stuff is on the side of the street, and I mean, I just was with her last night, and I remember, I'm being honest, I remember being 19, looking at her like, damn, it might be the last time I see her.
Wow.
Because they just got evicted. I was like, damn, I'm 19, I'm like, damn, Ray, you a fuck nigga. Mm. You about to let this girl get on the train in the cold to go get her shit off the street, and you say you liked her. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll leave my job right now. You don't have to quit. I'll leave.
Yeah.
Got us both always pushing wheelchairs, got us off, drove to the east side, got all the shit off the floor. This is when they was putting people, you know, in Atlanta, they put your shit on the outside. I don't know how they do it in other states, but like in Atlanta.
Oh, they put it outside.
They put your shit on the front of the neighborhood. And if you ain't there, the neighborhood is going to take your shit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I knew that. So I drove, and from that day, I had tip money. I got us a hotel room. And from that day, I was her man, and I had to be a better man than her.
Yeah.
I saved up my money. I bought her a Geo. It was $500, but it was a lot of money to me at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point I want to say is that to black women out there is that the narrative, if we're going to really, really build our black family, the black unity, it's going to start with people like your wife
who sees
a man, picks him and says, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And trust me, at the end of that, I guarantee you, she can have whatever she wants.
Whatever, it don't even matter.
And that's what I mean, because she was there.
1,000.
And I've been feeling this. You just triggered it. I've been feeling this. I've been wanting to say this to black women for so long. I'm like, bro, like, I feel y'all. I know you want a rich nigga, but like, build with that nigga.
Facts.
Find a nigga that wants more. Facts. Find a nigga that is trying to figure it out. Or shit, hell, you might be, as a man, let me tell you another secret about men. Mm-hmm. Men, I have to do this. Men know. Okay. I don't want to do this, but I got to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Men know what they can get and can't get.
Facts. Yeah.
Every man is with his best option at that time. Mm. Now, don't get me wrong. You might have way better options now because you're way more successful. But every man is with his best option. Mm. If he thought he could get better, he wouldn't be with you. Mm. That's what I'm trying. That's how men are, right? Men want the best, right? Mm-hmm. So my point is that if you are a bad chick, like they say they are, don't go try to get a dude that matches your energy. Mm. Get a dude that's so happy to have you that he can't wait to show you that you picked the right guy. Like, how different would my life be if the girl that I wanted in high school picked me?
Facts.
Right? Like, it was like, but she picked the nigga that, like, he had more
emotion.
That's
game, though. And I don't
now,
know if they,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
how,
it's hard to hear, but
ladies, I think
For me, it's like the black family has to change.
Yeah.
It went from like the black mother and father in the house to like now daddy's on drugs in the 70s and the 80s and out the house. Mm-hmm. And now black women are single. And now the 90s, we start getting a little bit of money from hip hop and all this stuff. And now we're in 2024 and it's a lot of money out here and it's a lot of opportunities out here and people are winning. And I love that. But what I'm telling you now, I see women want to be like men and I'm cool with that. If you want to be outside like men, you want to work like men, you want to hustle like men, I'm cool with all of that. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be those things, you have to be an accountability partner. Mm. Like, I'm like, there's two types of women. Either you're my cheerleader or you're my teammate.
Mm.
Cheerleaders don't always have you ever seen a team down 50 points? Motherfucker, them cheerleaders be like, go.
Yeah, right.
Because they cheerleaders.
Right.
a teammate is on the floor of me trying to figure out what the fuck we doing
let's
wrong.
Let's go. Let's get
and
it.
And I just want to say that to black women. We need, if you guys want this world to look the way you want it to look, you guys are going to have to start being our teammates and stop being our cheerleaders. And you inspired that because your wife is your teammate.
1,000%.
And as a man that also looked at women as for my pleasure, you start understanding that. First of all, pleasure is shortly served and it's over. But you start realizing how much you need that partner.
1,000.
You start realizing, like, damn, I went on a date with her, spent $800, got sex. And am I gonna do another date to get the same? Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, then you start realizing, like, I did all that for fucking 15 minutes of me, like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, man, she ain't getting nothing out of it but dinner, but because she feels like she belongs, but we didn't get anywhere.
Right.
And if we're going to be a black family, a black unit, we have to get somewhere.
And you, black wealth equals black family,
that's
too.
My point. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And that means accountability partners. Yeah. That means talking to him and not the internet.
Yeah.
That means watching, in the same vice versa for you. Mm-hmm. But, like, I love where we are now, where girlfriends and wives are out here getting busy with their man.
Yeah.
But then you see these other women, it's like, he gonna have to have 8 figures. And it's like, baby girl, let me tell y'all something. What these women ain't telling y'all is that he didn't, how much did you have when you met your wife?
Sheesh. Couple of thousands. Like,
how much you have now? It's like, come on. Right. You see that my point? That's my point. So I just wanted to say that to our women, because I love black family. I love black love. I love all of us. But I see that there's this disconnect of women saying, he has to be this.
Yeah.
And what they don't understand is that if I went on that journey by myself and I got there and I met you, you might be beautiful enough and cute enough and nice enough where I'm gonna fuck with you, but you're never gonna be my equal to me.
Never. Yeah.
Because you wasn't there for the journey.
And you become a liability.
And then another thing we start talking about is, what were you doing while I was on my journey?
Right.
Fucking with different niggas. Right. Oh, man. Right. Yeah. So I was out there hustling. And it's one more thing I gotta say if I can. I'm just sorry. I'm not your show. One thing I gotta say. Dear black women, stop making good black men stepfathers. Like, we celebrate the black stepfather in America. Like, he stepped up when another man did. Mm. He shouldn't have to step up.
Yeah.
And my thing is this. So I'm saying, have the sex all you want, whatever you want, but do not have a kid from him until you want to be his wife. Mm. Don't have a kid from him because you like him and he's cute and this. We have to stop making good men stepfathers. Mm. That's not fair to them. Mm. And it's a narrative that women push because it's like, well, he's the real dad. No, I want my own kids.
Right.
I want my kids. And by the way, I'm a stepfather. I love her, but for me, it still is like, I wish that you would have waited for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I'm saying? So that's all I want to say to black women.
1,000.
But with that being said, man, Ash, man, you are the fucking man, bro.
My brother.
No, and
I appreciate you,
and I'm not going to lie to you, man.
I've learned a whole lot today, man.
I ain't going to lie to you. Obviously, I want to figure something out.
Yeah.
I think we should, that Jay-Z lyric book, I think it'd be great for the culture.
No, that's done. We have to work together for sure.
And bro, I fuck with you, man.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah.
It's funny how people say your platform. I'm like, dog, like, I'm the music industry nigga that was in the buildings fighting every day while I'm watching y'all do what I'm like, we should be doing that.
Yeah.
Because podcasting is the, let me tell you, 5 seconds. My first house, I was building a pool. Mm-hmm. As a black man, that is the first one to have a pool in my entire fucking ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much a pool costs. Mm-hmm. Like, if you never built one, do you know how much a fucking pool costs? So I'm like calling around, because I never did it. And people are like, it's going to be anywhere from $20,000 to $60,000. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, shit, let's find the $20,000.
Right.
And I was meeting all these pool people, and they was like, $25,000, da, da, da. And there was this one guy. And he came to my house, and mind you, I'm busy as fuck. And he says, I need you to stop your day for an hour to talk about this pool. Mm. What? Nigga, I ain't got time like that. Just tell me the price.
Right.
So then he says, I work for Delta full time, but I built a pool. The wrong pool. It was a bad pool, and I had to build a better one. And I don't want that to happen to nobody else. So you're going to give me an hour if you're really going to spend this much money on a pool. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I sat down, and he ran through it, and then he was the most expensive one. Mm. But I went with him because he taught me about he was like, because sometimes when we see price, we don't realize there's a separation in product, everything. He started breaking it down. The point is that I bought the pool from the guy that cared about pools the most. Mm. Now, let's take it back to podcasting. Mm. If you want to work with financial literacy, are you going to work with the guy that's like, hey, man, you want to sit in the room with me, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars, I don't have time, or you work with the guy that's like, here's what you should do, I'll talk to you later.
Right.
The guy that said, here's what you should do, I'll talk to you later. Because that guy gave me some information.
Yeah.
That's what you guys are doing. Mm. And that's what we should have been doing in the music business. Yeah. We should be telling the artists what to do.
Absolutely.
Rather than sitting back waiting for somebody to do something right and take it.
Absolutely.
And then we don't, but they don't tell them what to do because they don't know.
Right.
But my point I'm saying is that I watch you guys and I watch Inside the Vault and I watch you build it and I watch that. And for you to sit on my couch, that shit is, means a lot to
appreciate
me.
Appreciate
you. And I'm telling you that because we don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
We will now.
Absolutely.
But that's what I want people to understand. Yeah. This is two men that are like, shit, I would love to sit in the room with that man.
1,000.
And we just happen to have a camera on for y'all, so if you watch this, you're blessed.
Right, 1,000. Yeah.
Real talk.
Right.
This is the conversation that I wanted to have anyway, right, whether cameras was here or not.
Facts. Yeah, yeah.
So I just want to thank you for that,
yes,
bro.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I want to shout out our sponsors. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution, shout out to Tote and Carry, shout out to Yoko Vaca, shout out to Lareko, and shout out to you for watching. And brother, support this brother, fuck with this brother, buy his books. I'm co-signed right now. Like, I read people. He's the truth.
Appreciate you.
Buy his books and get rich.
That's it.
Don't buy his books to support him.
Right.
Buy his books to support your fucking self.
Thanks.
And your dreams and your aspirations. You got to look at it like that.
Yeah.
Because Jay-Z got more money than both of us, but we still appreciate what he did for
1,000%.
Us. 1,000%. That's why God continues to bless us abundantly.
1,000. Yes.
What if we acted? What if we took his words and instead of saying, no, Hov told you do that, we right, made a no. Ash said, don't do
right,
that.
Right, like, exactly.
We could have easily done that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we want to thank the person that absolutely gave it to us because we want the people that we give it to thank us.
1,000%.
And
yeah,
that's all. That's my last thing I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It's the God Show. It's Ash Cass. It's Rick Negotiator. And we are out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Ash Cass.